Do you believe your health directly correlates with your effectiveness to fulfill God's purpose for your life? Our guest today has been on a quest over the span of her lifetime after being given just a 2% chance to live over a decade ago. She's back in studio today with a message that I promise will encourage and motivate you on your journey. I'm Charisse Parton. This is Return to Eden. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We have two incredible guests back with us in the Return to Eden studio. He's a board-certified holistic health practitioner, a professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO, and host of Skywatch TV, Joe Horn.
Hi, Charisse.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks for
coming back.
Yep.
Yeah, we got a lot today. She is a sought-after motivator, encourager, and spiritual advisor whose counsel has impacted the spheres of government, media, and the church both locally and internationally. She's a cancer survivor who's overcome many health obstacles, including losing over 200 pounds.
Wow.
That's incredible. Through diet and lifestyle changes, Miss Debbie Short. Welcome back.
Thanks.
I am so excited that you are here again. You know, last week, Debbie, you were right on the edge of telling us where you were about to, you'd gone and you'd had like a cancer diagnosis and the doctors were telling you, this is bleak, this is, you know, less than 2% chance, and get your will together, you know, get your
affairs in order.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You may not come out of this, and you just squared your shoulders, and what did you tell him?
Well, I basically asked him if he was any good at his job, and if he wasn't, to get the best one there. Because I planned on living.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I'm so glad you proclaimed that over yourself. You spoke it so you could hear it. A lot of times as believers, you know, we have to speak so that our ears hear it. People could say it over you, but it's not as effective sometimes as when we speak it to ourselves.
And I say that to myself a lot.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Write it.
Yes.
Because it goes into your ears, out of your eyes, into your heart.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I'd love in this show to get some of the drivers that maybe helped contribute to how you ended up so ill.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, with the food and the being very young and developing some bad eating habits and some stuff like that, and temptation to sneak food, some of the lifestyle choices that may have contributed to becoming so ill.
You know, all of the things that I put into my mouth that I wasn't realizing I needed to be responsible to, because I was just functioning.
Sure.
There became an onset of different diseases. Started with asthma.
Wow.
You know, and so chronic cough, bronchitis. And there were irritants because I was filling my body with toxins. And you, from what I have learned now, you filter through your lungs, your kidneys and your lungs.
Right.
And your,
it's a huge lymphatic system.
You know,
yes.
It's a huge lymphatic system. And when you're allowing disease to set into your body,
yeah,
you know, I had two children very close together, 15 months apart.
That's tough. It's tough to recover.
Well, it's tough to, and I had C-sections on both of them, and that's even harder.
Even challenging.
And so after that, I had children at home and started putting more weight on, chronically getting more sick with different areas,
sure.
And ended up with some inflammation in a breast and had to have a mass removed. Thought it was cancer then. It was nothing. And so then it was just the process of, again, periodically just having trouble with the asthma and the bronchial issues. Well, as I put more weight on, fatigue was setting in.
Right.
You know, I wasn't able to climb those ladders as much. I was on a praise team at the church, and we had a full orchestra, so it was kind of a big deal.
Big deal.
I was getting to where I couldn't stand.
Mm.
I didn't feel like it was because of the weight. I had no energy. Mm. I didn't know why.
Right.
And so, you know, then hypoxia set in, and diabetes.
And you described too, because this could have been going on for a long time, you described going back to the doctors and saying, I feel like I have this ball or a lump, and they're basically just laughing at you and not taking you seriously. But eventually, it was discovered, as revealed in last week's program. Guys, if you missed last week, you got to go back and check it out, because she goes into depth as to how she landed here.
Yeah.
But eventually, all of this health decline lands you in the hospital, and you're being told you have a 2% chance to live, and you're going to have surgery for what was, you said they had quantified it at the size of a basketball tumor in your uterus.
But you knew you had.
Endometrial cancer.
They didn't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She refused to accept the label.
Yeah.
Now, talk to us about what happens next. So you go in for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next?
When I go in for surgery, because of the location in my uterus with the cancer, they And these are all things that are very hard on your physical body.
Absolutely.
They cut me hip to hip from here all the way around up to here.
That's very
so they
hard.
Could get to where they needed to do the surgery.
Yep.
They had to remove things to get to the cancer, remove the cancer. And thank God it was all contained in my uterus.
Yeah.
But then they had to sew me back up. And even at that point, they removed a section of, they call it a penelectomy, which they remove a moon-shaped shape from my body because my belly had gotten to where it hung down to my knees.
Mm.
And so then I'm sewn back up. And they told us before I went into surgery, they said, this is going to be a horrific surgery.
Wow.
And this can be really hard to come out of. And so when I was in surgery, they kept coming out and giving my husband reports. And at the 15-hour mark, they came out. And they looked kind of solemn, and it really rattled Chuck.
Sure.
And he said, we have another issue we have to deal with.
Oh, my God.
And they said, her gallbladder is so full of stones, 7 stones the size of golf balls.
Oh, my word.
And he said, if I don't take it out now, after what I just put her through, she's going to go, oh, I ain't going into surgery again. Hey,
right.
No, you
right,
know.
Right,
I got you.
So
right.
He said, we need your permission to remove her gallbladder.
Oh, my God.
He said, we've sewn her up down below, but now we're going to go in laparoscopically and remove this. And Chuck goes, then you better do it now, because he said she won't go back in, you know.
Not endorsing that.
Not endorsing that one, you know. So that ended up being like close to 18-hour surgery that
day.
Oh, good
grief. That's so hard.
And then even to
go
with lung issues that I was starting to have.
Under anesthesia.
Under anesthesia
To even survive the anesthesia for, 18 hours is a miracle.
Yeah. And so then I had 15 to 18 days in the hospital afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And here I am, let's just say 400 pounds at the time. And they'd bring nurses in that would be your size or smaller. And they got me up the first day. Mm. They go, you're going to stand. And I go, I don't think so. And they're
that's
like,
cute,
no.
Pumpkin.
The concern of pneumonia is massive. Right.
Massive,
surgery,
sure.
Right.
Massive.
So they will. They will.
Especially for what I was going through.
Oh, my word.
And they would go and get these little nurses. And I'd go, can you go get somebody else?
Right.
Or bring two of you back?
Right.
Because the chances are we're going this way.
Right.
You know?
And you're in so much pain.
And
pain, don't want to take a chance.
I have never experienced like pain like that in my
life.
And I didn't want anybody within 18 inches. And, you know, people come in and trip on your hose. And,
absolutely.
And you're like, you know, or bump your bed.
Debbie, I get it.
You know,
I really do.
I know. And
I
then
do.
Even driving home from the hospital.
Or waking you up by doing this.
Yeah.
Mr. Horn.
Yeah,
Mr. Horn.
Exactly.
And you're like, do you realize? Yeah, of course you realize I've been cut this far and I'm not in the mood, right?
Right.
No.
Do you remember like waking up and thinking, I'm still here? Like when they did, when I'm just speculating, but when they started the anesthesia, were you having thoughts like, this may be the last time I see daylight because they've spoken all this stuff over me?
That's
and when you wake up, you're like, I'm still here.
I cleaned every drawer. There were no holy clothes in my dresser drawer. You know, I was like, if I'm going, they're going to think she was styling, you know. I woke up from that surgery and my husband was right here in my face.
Mm.
I didn't want to be intubated. I begged them, please do not have me intubated. I saw someone pulling a tube when I was a kid, and that was in my mind.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't intubated. There were things that were important to me that I'd prayed about. There's whole segments of things with people coming into my home that were God-ordered.
Amen.
That you can't explain except it was God, that is enough for a book, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But coming out of surgery, I just said, thank you. I looked at Chuck and I said, I am so glad to see you. And I really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, thank you, God, that I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that the next 3 months
were
going to be some of the most horrific recovery I've ever had to walk through.
Sure.
You know, and the ride home in the hospital, every seam in that road jarred me. And I was sobbing.
I believe it.
The pain was so horrific.
Horrible.
And, you know, you just kind of function through those things. And now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, it really hurt really bad, you know.
Right, right, right.
But that's so okay, because I've got a lot of years
in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Right,
right,
exactly.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
When I was in the hospital, God still asked me, will you serve me when you're in your weakest moment?
Oh, wow.
And I would be, sometimes they would put me in a chair to get me out of bed.
Right.
And I would just be wrapped in a sheet, nothing else. And my roommate that was in there was a heroin addict.
Oh, good.
And she always kept her curtain pulled. There were people that came and stayed with me. They brought an RV there so my husband could be in the car and sleep
at the
RV.
In the parking lot,
And then one of the women would stay. The church ladies would stay with me. And one night at about 4 a.m, the lady next to me said, "Miss Debbie," she said, "I ask God to heal me all the time and to help me so I'm not addicted."
Mm.
And she goes, "I'm such a sinner. My mom won't even receive me or let me be come to the church."
Wow.
And she said, I'm so evil. And I said, "You're not evil." I said, "You're more right than half the church is."
There you go.
You know, and she said, "Will you pray with me?" And the two ladies, I'm sitting here in a naked with a sheet on me in this corner bed. There's no way I'm going to stand up. And so the two women that I was with, I said, "I'm sending my friends over there and they're going to lay hands on you and pray for you."
Yes.
So even while I've gone through hard things, there's been an instinct in me to let them know that he's real.
Absolutely.
That woman, we had only so much money in our bank account because it was a very expensive procedure to go through and staying at the hospital and being there for days. And I asked Chuck to get me a $50 bill, and I wrote a card to her, and I just wrote about her future in him.
Amen.
And we gave it to her. Why do you have an impact to do some of those things when you're dealing with health issues?
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking, I once was blind, but now I see. But every time a new revelation came or a new phase in my life came, I adjusted, and I'm thinking, oh, I have finally arrived.
Mm.
And then God will be like, no, we got some more learning to do here.
That really defines the last 15, 20 years since, right?
Yeah, it does, totally.
That was catastrophic, yet you were still here. And we would love to say that bada bing, it was all over with.
Right, no.
But then would come a whole series of cardiovascular issues. This was almost, I guess I could frame it like this, and if this isn't correct, you can correct me, but it was almost like back debt.
Yes.
From decades of not taking care of your body in part and not knowing the damage that was taking place over those years. And we don't have time in this program to go into every story, but folks, I've known Debbie for years, and I'm telling you, according to what men have spoken over her, medical professionals, she's not supposed to be here.
Right.
And not just from the story that you just heard, but many
multiple
since.
Things.
But here's the thing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm really excited. I want to make sure we get this in today. Since then, the cardiovascular issues, the respiratory issues, bouts that we just don't even have time to get through. You're still here. And I've always, as your friend, admired this about you, Debbie. I think in part, because of your unwillingness to receive that kind of proclamation over your life.
Yeah.
There is something massive about the determination to simply refuse the bad news and say, "Father, what's next?"
Yeah.
How many times have I heard Debbie say, "What's next, Papa?"
Mm-hmm.
We've got some friends in the studio that know exactly what I mean by that. What's next, Papa? She never received that proclamation and then decided, well, that's it, guys. They gave me 2%, or now they're saying my heart may give out, or whatever.
Right.
I want to make sure we get to this, because, you know, we've mentioned you've lost over 200 pounds.
Incredible.
Debbie, the work that you've put into your health, starting at your weakest, because there's no magic pill. I'd love to say there's a gimmick in a bottle for $29.99 a month that will just drop weight for you. But unfortunately, if you're hearing it and it sounds easy, it probably won't work in the long term, and certainly not healthy long term. How have you done it? How have you lost all of this weight? Why are you experiencing? I want you to tell, if we have time, your AFib story. I mean, just recently. I mean, this is just...
That was just...
Every day you're alive.
Right.
You look to me younger than you did 5 years ago, and you're feeling better now than you did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. How is this done?
And my doctors are telling me I'm teaching them.
That's incredible.
You know, I've tried every diet that's ever been out there. I've gone and asked for help at doctor's offices. And they've gone, I mean, I've been shamed by them and left bawling my brains out.
I'm so sorry.
Diets, you know, when they went through the fat-free stuff, you know, I'm thinking, well, I can get this coffee cake and I can eat all I want because it's fat-free.
Eat the whole thing.
But nobody told you that they were loading it full of sugar.
Right.
Which was worse of a detriment than the fat was.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I wouldn't just have one slice. I think I'd have me another, Pretty soon I'd eat the whole thing, and then I'd eat two.
Oh, yeah.
Two of these trays.
Right.
And then I'd wonder why I was gaining weight, because it was fat-free.
Mm.
So I began to believe all of the things that all of these, and about any diet you can think of, I've tried, because they've, okay, if that didn't work, try this one.
Right.
Sure.
Finally, one night I was praying, and I felt like the Lord said this to me. Why don't you eat what I've made?
Wow.
And I woke up and I thought,
that's my book. That's my book.
Green beans. I really like them.
Yeah.
You know, and so I started doing some of that, but I would still bring in my old patterns of habit.
Sure.
And so then the lessons started coming about lifestyle change. And I failed miserably for obviously years. And my husband one day said, keep a journal and let's find out what's irritating you. Mm-hmm. Because wow. I could gain 20 pounds in a day. One day, 20 pounds.
That's pretty insightful.
So when you go in and you're saying, I feel like I'm laying on a ball. I didn't know that was cancer.
Right.
But I didn't know why the toxins were in my system fighting to save me. So I'm filling up with fluid. Mm. My ankles used to be 18 inches.
Oh, my word.
That's bigger than your arm right
there's,
now.
There's so much, too, Debbie, that I've witnessed. Like when you and I first met years ago, everywhere you went, there was an oxygen tank.
24/7.
You would take 6 to 10 steps and sit down.
Mobility was really
this woman,
difficult.
You guys, we're running out of time, but the point is this woman, as God is my witness, she walks around now. The distances are phenomenal. I don't see the oxygen. When I see pictures of you now, like when they pop up in social media, I'm like,
really?
This is not the same woman
no,
I met.
It's incredible.
And even back then, when I was at my biggest, when I pray, and a lot of times between 2 and 4 in the morning is when I just have my conversations. I'm talking to God.
Yeah.
And there were challenges that would come during those times. Will you serve me while you're at your weakest?
Wow.
Yes, God, I will. It says, I spoke to you in the womb of your mother. And then one day it hit me, it says, so that you might become a servant.
Mm.
And I thought, the only contentment I've ever had is for someone I physically can't see, but I cling to. There's that instinct in me to be what he wants me to be.
Absolutely.
Because he's the only one that's spoken good things over me.
Right.
A lot of the earth has not.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, and it's not so much that the people meant bad. It's the things I chose to believe
right.
that had to be transformed in my head, a renewing of the mind.
Right, exactly.
And that renewing of the mind is so important.
Yes.
And don't think that there's not times that I have to say, I have to rethink of who I am and who he has said I am and what I can do.
Right.
And I'm one of those ones that it's like, God, I want to be a forerunner. I want to be out in the front line. I want to see what you're doing. One of the reasons I told him I wanted to live is there was another story that I don't even want to get into hardly, but there was a man that came to my house. He said, why do you want to live? And I said, I want to see him accomplish in the earth what he said is going to happen.
Yeah.
Revival, people awakening, people yes. understanding who he is, you know, and I want to see that before I die. And so that's been my heart cry since I've been 16, is to see what he can do.
But the serious, absolute refusal to return to the old ways, I think, knowing you, Debbie, is one of the biggest ways that God has been able to kind of show you the path ahead.
Right.
You know, the refusal to return. So we talked about in the last episode, you know, you would make some gains, but then you would return to the old eating
right.
habits mm-hmm. and whatever.
Go back.
And this is the point, is there is no magic pill. This has been dedication. This is what I've witnessed from
and
you.
And consistency.
It's
been
consistency.
So consistent. Yeah.
Absolutely. Refusal to go back to the old ways. And you've lost how much now?
Probably about 230 pounds.
I gotta tell you guys something
That's
funny
incredible.
Too. I was on the phone with you. I don't know. It was maybe 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and you had just left one of the. I don't know if it's a local college or a swim center, but she's doing how many cardio workouts in the swimming pool every week?
Three times a week. Now.
It's so again. There's no easy $29.95.
No.
It's a you know gimmick
weight loss.
No, I'm spending
2.5 hours in the pool.
It's working out in the mm-hmm. pool. It's
That's
staying
great.
Away from sugars. It's
right.
putting in the work, and it's nourishing your body, nourishing your temple.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm putting in what's good so that my body and cells have everything they can to try and change. Now, do I still blow it? There's a lot of things that trigger me. Family comes into town, and they're
sure.
wanting all the things that we used to eat. And
that makes sense.
And I haven't.
That's a
this
challenge
is so
for
contrary
everybody.
To the diet system
right.
that we have right now. It's like go in and get everything rid of in your house so that there's no junk food there. And I felt like God said, you know what? There's other people that are still going to eat some of these things. And I'm talking about chips and
right.
to eat with a sandwich and stuff that maybe not be so bad for some people. And I felt like God said, you're not doing that. Because you have to learn to control what you put in your mouth and the choices you make.
Wow.
And so, you know, an alcoholic can get rid of their food. You can dump your cigarettes. You can't dump food.
Right.
And now there are sometimes, now the other day, I picked up some chips because I was going to cheat. and Matthew, which you know my son,
yeah.
he called me up and he goes, hey, what's going on? And I said, I need you to do something for me. And I said, what? And he goes, I said, can you come by? And he comes in, he goes, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, there's 3 bags of potato chips in the back of my car. Will you go put them in your car? Because I said, I know if I go open them.
Right,
and
it's it.
Potato
We're
chips
done.
Are a real trigger food for me.
Sure.
Wow.
And more so than anything else, chips and dip. Oh, man, baby. I like them.
Dinner. That's,
I like
that
groceries.
Used to be dinner.
Yeah, I like groceries, yeah. You know, but I've had to learn to get satiated with good proteins and yes. meats and vegetables and seasoning.
Have you
right.
found
things
any
like that.
Treats that you like that are healthy?
Yeah, I'm learning. You know, people go, so you're on a keto diet. And I go, well, kind of. And I'll use some of those things. But
right.
I have learned to bake things. Like I bake cheese and make my own little cheese
yeah,
nips.
Yeah, like your
cheese. You know?
Yeah.
So I've learned to adapt. But you have to change your environment.
That's it.
It's a lifestyle change.
And your mindset.
And your mindset.
Your mindset has to be.
Yeah, when they came
fast.
Out with cauliflower mashed potatoes, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have mashed potatoes. So I'm eating cauliflower mashed potatoes. I'm going, nah,
this is not
cauliflower.
The same.
This is cauliflower.
Similar
then I went
different.
To a friend's house, and they made a potato salad. I love potato salad. I love groceries.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no, I'm not, so I'm not going to have that. She goes, well, I made a surprise for you. It's made with cauliflower. And I'm sitting here going, oh, I've had cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Yep.
You know
here
what I mean?
Go.
Yep.
So I'm thinking,
this will be wonderful.
But I'm a guest, you know, so
right.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh.
There
this
are
is
ways.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It really tasted
Absolutely.
Like eating potato
yeah,
salad.
Yeah, there are tips and
so
tricks
I was like, can I? I think I had 3 servings. And then I've made 4 of them since I've been at home and told 2 other friends that are struggling like
yeah.
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going, no, really, it's not.
No, it's not that.
Potatoes.
It's not that.
It is really good.
Yeah.
So I'll find something like that. And then I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I
yeah, right?
Have me some
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And then like cauliflower rice.
Mm-hmm.
I love rice, and I can get away with it once in a while because I monitor my blood sugars.
Yeah.
And that is one thing. I have reverse diabetes.
That's incredible, Dan.
I am on no medications.
Praise God.
And my blood sugar is around 1.
Hang on. Say that again because I think that went right on by, but people, listen.
That's
say it
huge.
Again.
I have reversed my diabetes.
By eating.
My blood sugars, when I was in the hospital, were in the 600s.
You could have gone blind.
Oh, I could have gone blind. I could have been in a coma. I could have been a lot
absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely.
So then they'd
my
get
word.
Them down to where I'd run in the 300s. My doctor was just hoping I would get down to the 200s, and they were thinking about doing some other things. 3 or 4 months ago, and I've done this, I get my eating in order, and I'm going to talk in eating more low carb.
Yeah.
And even you can't even, as a diabetic, you can't eat all the meat you want. I can't
right.
sit there and eat 2 pounds of bacon because that can turn into sugar also
sure.
yeah.
if you overdo it. And you,
right.
it's just education.
Yeah, that's
but
key.
But my doctor, I was just at the doctor the other day. My blood sugars, my blood A1C, if people know, there used to be 14. It's now 7.
That's incredible.
That's on no medication. That's a miracle. And she's sitting here listening. She listens to my heart again. She listens to my heart. I've been in AFib. I had one chamber that just vibrated continually.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, are you going in and out of AFib? And I said, no, I'm in it chronically all the time. And she goes, they did a card. I don't know what they call it, but they come in and shock your heart 3 times while I was awake and no anesthesia. And it didn't stay.
Mm.
And that was a traumatic day too, believe
right?
me. So she goes, let me listen to you again. So she's listening. She goes, you're not in AFib right now.
Mm.
Now, I haven't gone back to my heart doctor, which is scheduled for this next week.
Uh-huh.
And she called him up while I was on the phone. Well, I mean, while I'm sitting in the office with her. And she goes, I need you to see her because I'm not hearing that she's in AFib. And I'm thinking, God, could you do that?
Mm.
Now, there's 2 men of God in particular that have spoken over me for well over a decade that have said I was in a transitional, aggressive, repeating healing.
Amen.
And that God wanted to restore that to me.
That's beautiful.
And see, I call on that when I'm praying.
Amen.
And it's not every day that
sure.
I just, you know, oh, God, you said, you know.
Right.
But I am, when I get weak.
Yes.
I say, God, the men of God have said.
Yes.
That you're going to restore my health.
Yeah.
These
I'm are
calling
my promises.
You. I'm contending for that.
You know
I'm
what
fighting
I want you to
that.
Do?
What?
In this moment, I want you to speak to the listener and the viewers and just give them a word of encouragement in their health journey, because you have spoken over people. People have spoken over you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to speak over them and encourage them.
If I had to say anything to anybody out there, is the first thing I would say is that God knows your name.
Amen.
He knows who you are. He sees you.
Yeah.
Even when others don't see you and atrocities have been said against you or you've believed him about yourself.
Mm.
But there is a way out. There is a way through. There is a way to take when it seems like an insurmountable war in front of you. And I'm going to use the word war because I feel like I've been in a war many times, many battles after battle after battle. There is a way that he has for you with instruction.
Amen.
And it's not about an individual diet. It's about learning how your body functions with good foods.
That's right.
That are going to feed the cells in your body, nutrition that's healthy, and then learning to follow through, learning to keep your momentum going, learning not to get stalled out, learning to put one foot in front of the other, even if it's in low gear,
right,
and you gear down at a turtle pace and not trying to run around. It's learning not to get discouraged when you've only gone through something for 1 week and you're not seeing the results that you want. At 457 pounds, I didn't see the result in 1 week. It's taken years. And I'm now getting into that place where the end is in sight. There's a victory. And not the end like the end of my life, but really the beginning of what God's doing.
That's
so letting go of what's been behind.
Yes.
I'm going to now press on into the things that God is doing.
Amen.
And what I want to do in God is the exploits and the adventures and the people to see that he has for us. And then helping someone else discover they can do those things themselves.
Absolutely. Miss Debbie, you're such a Titus too for me. I'm so thankful you were here. Joe, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
What a phenomenal show today, you guys. I'm Charisse Parton. Live better, eat better, feel better.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now, completely unnecessarily. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of God-given knowledge. In Unlocking Eden, we provide hopeful, scientifically supported revelations regarding how you can access freedom from the bondages of disease. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Unlocking Eden Special Collection. From the importance of detoxification, circadian rhythm, intermittent fasting, and unburdening metabolic pathways to maximizing immunity, methylation, and absolute essentials like quality sleep, Unlocking Eden is filled cover to cover with groundbreaking information that can help unlock the body's natural healing mechanisms, which can revolutionize your health and your life. In this incredible special collection from SkyWatch TV, you'll also receive the never-before-released special edition Eden's Essentials publication featuring special reports on gut health, chronic pain and sleep management, fermented foods, and so much more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $150. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. The Unlocking Eden Special Collection, available now at the SkyWatch TV store online. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.